Okay, so this is the premiere episode of my podcast, and I'm Jason Jones, registered psychologist and ASEX certified sex therapist. Today, I want to talk about internet infidelity. Okay, so we have to talk about it because this is one of the major issues that I see in my office that people are coming in with and needing some help with. So let's talk about it. What is internet infidelity? So years ago, there's always been infidelity. We always have seen throughout the ages that infidelity happens. That's not new. What is new is that the internet, by being able to connect people so easily and cheaply, has given a new avenue for infidelity to happen. And so we have people coming into the offices saying he cheated online. And that's something that we have to consider. Okay, what do you mean by cheating? What was actually happening online? Was there ever a discussion about what was appropriate or what was inappropriate behavior online before this happened? We didn't have to deal with talking about these issues until very recently, maybe the last 10 years. Our availability and accessibility towards the internet, as well as it being such an acceptable way of us being able to connect, and it can approximate real life interactions. Wow, there's a lot of added issues here in the last 10 years. No wonder couples are having problems with this. So sometimes this ranges from, what most people would consider not quite as serious, where there's online interactions with another person. And that can be considered cheating by some. Then to the very extreme where there's offline relationships that then result as a part of escalation from the online component. So that's these people actually end up meeting, and then the infidelity is not only just online, but it is real and very real. It can be very real. So what we're going to do is try and explore how can you protect your relationship from internet infidelity. And I'm going to give you some basic information about how internet infidelity is effectively treated when it does occur. Okay. So, some of the tips for protecting relationships. Well, I actually already listed about four of the seven A's which are related to internet infidelity. So this is from the research. The internet is acceptable as a communication device. It is accessible and affordable, rendering the user anonymous, facilitating an approximation to real-life interactions, providing ambiguity in defining problematic behavior, and allows people varying degrees of accommodation in terms of their real versus ideal selves. Okay, so that's quite a mouthful there. Let's talk about what this actually means. Well, the first few are really about how easily accessible, affordable, and acceptable using the internet is. So those three we can all understand as a product of how the internet has grown and just become a part of everybody's daily lives. So then it facilitates an approximation to real life interactions. Well, for sure it does, and actually there's degrees of that. So there's chats, then there's video chats. And there's all kinds of even new virtual reality interactions that people can have with each other, and even do what would be considered like mutual masturbation online. So there's an approximation to real life interactions, and that increases as technology increases. Now, then there's ambiguity in defining what problematic behavior is. That's a big thing because, as I said in the opening, we didn't anticipate this kind of problem happening. How could we have really foreseen that the evolution of the internet and it becoming such a big part of our lives was going to introduce all of this problematic sexual behavior or emotional behavior online because of how easy it was to do? So we didn't anticipate it, and now we're not talking about it as couples. We can now anticipate that these are things that we have to talk about. What do you mean by cheating? What do you mean by infidelity? What does online infidelity actually mean? So am I going to consider cheating to be only things that happen direct face-to-face with somebody? Or do we need as a couple to talk about what is problematic behavior? Because it might be problematic for one person, even if there's an emotional conversation that's not sexual, only happening online. So there's got to be a discussion. What is problematic? What is totally acceptable? And we tend to avoid those conversations, don't we? Because they can be a little bit difficult. So we need to press ourselves to have those conversations and be proactive, or else we are really going to miss some of these issues, and they're going to come up. And then the final A is it allows varying degrees of accommodation in terms of the real versus ideal selves. Now, this is a really psychologically important part of internet infidelity, is that it lets people be maybe more who they want to be. And it gives them a way of exploring a fantasy that perhaps they've always wanted to live out, but have never been able to voice. Some fantasy that maybe they could never even imagine doing, but in their ideal world, that's something that a confident them would be able to do. And so it's kind of transformative, the internet's ability to wrap people in. And these factors contribute to internet infidelity. Now, these vulnerabilities exist in the relationship. So if we don't talk about these issues, how are we going to prevent these things from happening? So, overall, more tips around protecting relationships from internet infidelity. Well, there's probably a lack of connection between partners. There might be a limited ability to discuss problems with each other. Then there might be someone who's not happy where they are and maybe searching for something else. We need to also talk about being ready to be in an emotional relationship, or what that actually means to each person. And potentially the fear of being oneself. And that can be difficult when we're not able to fully trust each other. So how do we actually treat this when it comes up? We know how to define it. We know how to kind of protect our relationships from it, but when it actually happens, how do we deal with it? Well, the number one thing I want you to remember is that we can't just focus on the internet itself. That's where a lot of people want to go. Let's take away the opportunity to go online. Well, we had 4 of those 7 A's in internet infidelity about just how easy it is to use the internet. So if we just focus on access to the internet, we're not really going to change any underlying reasons that are compelling the person to go online. And that's just an easy avenue for them to go. So we got to go beyond just focusing on the internet and talk about all the vulnerabilities that really exist in the individual and in the relationship. So we'd want to start with an assessment. We would set some physical boundaries, talk about rules, and we really have to process emotions related to infidelity. How does each partner view the behavior? Is it cheating? How did you find out? What's your story of how this happened? What have you already tried? Because people aren't just coming into our offices having not already done everything that they can possibly do. They've been searching. They're trying to figure this stuff out. One of the things that I really consistently find is that the topic of trust comes up very consistently, and how to rebuild trust, how to show that you can be distrusted, how to receive that the other person is trying to apologize, and how to forgive them. So trust usually becomes a topic we have to go over. Now, one article, this is again another peer-reviewed article, it suggests that treating internet infidelity includes developing physical boundaries, okay, developing psychological boundaries to protect the relationship and how they're going to be able to adapt and dealing with stress, managing accountability, trust, and feelings. Of course, we have to do that. Increasing client awareness around how the internet relationships came to be, what were some of the influences around it. I think we do need to understand how it came to be and have a coherent story around it before we're ever able to move on. Then I'm going to assess the couple's context, their readiness to change, then assess and address any unique issues, and really ultimately work towards forgiveness. So these are a number of different models that are in the research and being discussed. I've told you a little bit about how I personally do it, but I'd really like to hear from you. So make sure that you hit me up on Twitter or on Facebook. And thanks a lot. Let me know what you think about the podcast, and maybe we'll do more. Okay, next time. Bye.